All right. I'm excited to get this series started. I'm starting a series called Summer Road Trip. And as I was praying about what to preach next, what kind of series, where to go from here, this really kind of stemmed from, you know, we took a vacation, other people are taking vacations, and God just began to show me how a lot of these things, when we take a trip or a vacation, how they parallel with our faith journey. And so when we look outside today, I guess right now it kind of almost does look like summer. It's kind of looked like spring recently, and that's, you know, welcome to Illinois. You just never really know what season it is unless you look at a calendar. But you can tell that summer's in full swing, even with the rain and the weird seasons we've had. You know, the days are getting longer. Hallelujah. Who likes that? I like when the days are getting longer. It's great when we leave here on Thursday night from the prayer meeting and it's still light outside. I love that. But if you go to, you know, to one of the lakes, there's boats on the lake. That's a good sign. You know, Pinkies is hopping, so that's a good place when it's warm out. I've seen a lot of people picking berries, you know, at Frank's or other places, and I love that season when we get those fresh berries. The farmers markets and all these outdoor events. And then the sure sign that it's summer is there are kids everywhere, right? Like if you used to go to the store during the day because, you know, all the kids were at school, like now all those moms are toting all their kids, there's kids everywhere. So that's a sure sign that it's summer. But one of the most telling signs that it's summer is vacations, right? There's always, you know, everybody knows somebody that's either just went on vacation, they're planning to go on vacation, or something, or they know somebody that's on vacation. So we see that a lot of people are planning for that during this time of year. And as I reflected even on our recent vacation that our family took, you know, I saw these parallels. And so this summer road trip, I decided to go with road trip instead of vacation because here's the deal. Not everybody can afford to go on vacation, but anybody can go on a road trip. You just got to have a car and a buddy that has a day off, right? Anybody can do a road trip. So we're looking at summer road trip for the next several weeks. And so if you decide to go on a road trip, the first thing you need to do is you need to plan your trip. Okay, so that's where we're going to settle in at today is how do you plan your trip? Okay, so where do you want to go? You guys ever think about that? You know, if we get an opportunity, if her job would slow down a little bit, if mine would, if we could catch a break, if we could line things up, where do I want to go? What's the destination like? I know a lot of families kind of have split desire there. Like one likes to go to the beach and the other might want to go to the mountains. One likes to do something active and the other one just likes to chill out. So what do you want to go see? What do you want to go do? Some just like to take a drive and see something new, see some scenery. Some people don't like to plan anything at all. They just like to go a direction, right? And just see what happens. That is not my kind of trip. I like a little bit too much control, I think, to do that kind of trip. But we tend to make this the biggest decision in planning a trip, don't we? Where are we going to go? Like, it's got to start there. Where is the destination? What do you want to do? Can we come to an agreement on where we are headed? And so where we're headed makes a very big impact in the planning process. It is a big deal. Where are we headed? Can you relate that to your faith journey this morning? Can you consider your life and the things that you're doing, and can you say, where am I headed? Like, let's start there. Like, where am I going? Like, where am I trying to get to? What is my goal? What am I trying to accomplish? Where do I want to end up in life? And where do I want to end up after life? Where do I want to end up in eternity? Right? If you're one that doesn't really care, if you're one that's just in it for the ride, you're just living life for the ride, just, man, I'll go where the wind blows. I'll just do what I happen to do. I'm not really going to plan for the rest of my life or for eternity. I'm going to tell you that that kind of trip does not end up well on a spiritual journey. That kind of trip doesn't end up well on a spiritual journey. So where are you headed? Okay, the next thing to consider is how long Will you be gone? If I'm going on a vacation, I've got to think, how much time do I have? You know, how much time does my wife have? How much time can my kids get off work? It was really kind of complicated for us to plan a trip. It was really kind of complicated. Marissa wrapping up school and getting ready to start a new job, and Xander just getting done with baseball, but baseball just getting ready to start. And then, you know, Christy's job and things going on at the church. I'm like, how much time do we have? When can we be gone? How much time do we have? Should we just do a short trip, just a weekend trip? These are considerations when you're planning, is how much time do you have? Because a lot of times that may determine where you can actually go, right? If you only have a weekend to take off, it's probably not a good idea to try to go to Colorado and view the mountains, right? If you only got a weekend off, you're going to Chobonier. Good luck. There's probably something there, something you could look at. That's Tom Federgon's favorite vacation spot, if you don't know. That's why I joke about Chobonier. But think about how much time do you have. It may depend how far you can go. If you're uncertain about how long you could stay, say you know that you got some time off, but you have one of those jobs where you could get called back at any moment, and you would have to go back, what would you do? Wouldn't you do the most important things first, right? If I'm going to be gone for a week, and I'm like, there's nobody else that can do my job, if they call me, I have to fly back immediately, I'm going to do the things that I really want to get done first, right? I'm going to put those at the front of the agenda and see how can I do those things, because I want to do the important things just in case I run out of time. Now relate that to your faith journey. We have no idea how much time we have, do we? We have no idea how long it's going to be until we're called back, right? Till we're called to heaven. We have no idea if we're going to be able to get the things done that we really want to get done. So when we plan, shouldn't we plan to do what's important first? James chapter 4, verse 11, he tells us, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring or what your life will be. For you are like a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes. We've got to remember that God and God alone knows our future, right? God and God alone knows how many days we have. God and God alone knows how long our trip is going to last, right? I mean, imagine being sent on a vacation and they're like, I don't know. Just stay. I'll tell you when to come home. I'd be pretty anxious. I'd be like, well, that kind of really makes a big difference on what I'm going to do here. Like, tell me how long. And that's kind of what we're dealing with in our faith journey. We're on this trip, but how long will it last? We don't really know. Job 14:5, I love how Job lays out this perspective. He said, since a person's days are determined and the number of months depends on you, and since you have set limits, he cannot pass. He's speaking to God. A person's days are determined. His months depend on you, and you, God, have set limits that he cannot pass. We don't get to extend our journey on this earth. We don't get to extend our faith journey on earth. When it's over, it is over, church. When God decides it's over, we're going. Let me do one more thing. If you remember, one guy went to Abraham's bosom, the other guy went to Hades, you remember? And the guy in Hades is kind of like, well, just let me have a touch of water on my tongue, you know, just something to kind of soothe me. And then he's like, you know, if I could just go back. And he's like, well, can you go back? Can you just tell my family, right? He's wanting one more thing, one more thing, one more thing. And it's like, no, it's too late. There's no one more thing available for you. When it's over, it's over. So shouldn't we do what's most important the soonest, as soon as possible? See, on a trip that would be impactful, a trip that would make a difference, that would last in our lives, a real trip, what we want to do is we want to do things that will make an impression, right? We want to see things that we'll remember. You know, it's easier now when we have, you know, cameras and pictures, but I just want to throw this out there. I see too many people that miss the moment. Have you seen this? Have you seen too many people that miss the moment? I realize it's good to have it on video, it's good to have it on camera, but at least do it like this or something. Get a tripod. But so many people are missing the moment. We want to see what's impactful in our lives, what's going to make a lasting impression, what's going to leave a good memory. Now, shouldn't our faith journey mirror that, where it's like, my faith journey, I want to get to those things that are going to make a lasting impact. I want to get to those things that are going to leave a good memory, that are going to have some kind of effect, that's not going to be forgotten, that's not going to be for nothing, that's not going to be a waste of time. We can't wait, because time could run out. And so if we're planning a trip, we need to think about where we're going. We need to think about how much time we're working with. But those are really just both setups to what's next. What's the other thing that's so important in planning a trip? Is the money. What's it going to cost? I don't know about you, but I've sat down to try to figure up a trip that sounded really cool before, and then I'm like, it costs what? Right? Are you kidding me? I'm a little bit tight, okay? So for many of you guys, you might be like, that's not that bad. But I'm like, that's too much. The cost of that trip is not worth the memories that will be made. The cost of that trip is not worth the suffering that my bank account is going to have to go through. When you figure up the cost, you have to go with, well, what can I afford? And what you can afford is really up to you, because what you can afford is really, what am I willing to give up, right? What am I willing to give up to be able to go on this trip? How many of you would like to do like a tour of like Europe or something? Doesn't that sound cool? I've always kind of thought that would look cool. What if you had 4 weeks? I got 4 weeks off, paid vacation, I'm going to Europe. Well, have you checked into the cost? It's not cheap. That's not a cheap trip. It might be a really good trip, but it's not a cheap trip. So can you handle it? But not only can you handle it, is it going to be worth it in the end? That's only for you to know. It could be worth it, but could it be worth all that you have to give up and all that you have to pay for that price? See, this is the question that a lot of times we do not ask in our faith journey. We really don't ask this in our faith journey. In our faith journey, it'd kind of be like, I really think Europe looks cool, and I got 4 weeks off, and I booked a plane ticket, and I'm heading to Europe. I have no idea what to expect when I get there. I have no plans. I don't even really know what it's going to cost, but I got the time. I got the destination. Okay, so I've kind of figured those things out, but I haven't really figured out the cost. And then you get on the plane, and you land in Italy. And then you land in Italy and you realize that nobody there speaks your language. And then you go to the restaurant and you get the Italian food and it's not Joe's. You're like, in fact, I don't even know if I like this. Listen, me and Christy had some Italian food in Chicago for our anniversary one time. Highly recommended by our hotel. It was the worst food we've ever had in our lives. Real authentic Italian food, and it was awful. Part of that was because it was a seafood dish and it had moving parts. Not really into that. Didn't know that when we ordered it. My point is, it was not what we expected. We thought fine dining, Italian cuisine, this is going to be the best thing we've ever had. Turns out it was not. I would rather eat Joe's. Okay? So you get off the plane, you start to find these things out, and you start to realize that, you know what, I actually kind of like it better at home. I like it better at home because I can get the food that I want to eat at home. The people speak the language that I speak at home, and I'm kind of having a little bit of maybe buyer's remorse. I like the idea of going to Europe, but maybe it's not quite worth the cost. And I think that if we relate this to our faith journey, how many of you know that there are a lot of people who like the idea of following Jesus. They like the idea of following Jesus. They're ready to jump on the plane. Let's go. This sounds amazing. I got the time. We got the destination. Let's get on the plane. I'm coming with you. Let's all go follow Jesus. We like the idea. It looks a lot of fun when Todd does it. He it looks like he's enjoying it. Man, I want to do that. That looks great. I don't care what it costs. I'm in. He enjoys it. He says it's fun. I want to do that. It looks fun when others do it. Everything's different, but it's in a good way, right? It's in a good way that it's different. It's exciting. But how many of those people never really consider the cost of what that's going to take to live that life like he lives, following Jesus? What is it going to take? What's it going to cost you? You just have the time off and you just go for it, but you never consider the cost. Jesus warns us about that in Luke chapter 14. He says, which of you, wanting to build a tower, doesn't first sit and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, after he's laid the foundation and cannot finish it, all the onlookers will begin to ridicule him, saying, this man started to build and was not able to finish. See, this is about faith. Jesus tells this as a teaching about faith. It's about following him. He says you need to consider the cost. You need to calculate the cost. Because if you haven't, right, it's like going to a land like Europe that it looks like it's going to be fun, and it's probably fun when you first get off the plane. But here's the thing. It's going to cost more than you think. It's going to cost more than you think, and the food's going to be different than what you expect, and the culture is going to be probably a lot different than what you expect and what you see in the magazines. The talk is going to be a lot different. The attitude of the people is going to be a lot different. Everything's going to be different than what you think. And are you willing to give up what you enjoy here to enjoy what they have there? Are you willing? So you really got to factor that in, because otherwise you get there and you just begin to miss home. The most overlooked aspect of following Jesus is the cost. Now, how could that be? How could that be? Salvation is a free gift. How can we be overlooking the cost? Salvation is a free gift. Indeed, it definitely, definitely is. You can have it for free. But it costs you everything to continue to follow him. It costs you everything to continue to follow him. You ever think about Peter and James, his brother? Matthew 24 says, going on from there, he saw two brothers. This is Jesus. He saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, preparing their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. What did they do? Immediately, they left their old life behind. They're like, yes, we will follow him. The cost is peace, Dad. We're out of here. Finish repairing the nets yourself. Finish fishing. That's kind of a tongue twister. Finish fishing yourself, because we're out of here. Like, we're following Jesus. Notice they didn't bring any of their fishing gear. They didn't bring their nets. They weren't like, yeah, Dad, while we're walking, you know, I'll fix this net and we'll bring it back to you. No, they left it. They left everything. They followed Jesus. They didn't say, we'll be right back. They were willing to give everything up. You know, when you go on a good trip, you leave everything behind. You go on a good trip, you don't worry about your house. Right, you might have somebody that's going to watch your house, somebody that's going to let your dog out or feed your cat or whatever. But for the most part, you just leave it behind. That's a good trip. I've been on a pastor's retreat with a pastor before who couldn't leave home behind. He basically was at home, but he was somewhere else because he was always on the phone and always on his computer and always handling business. And I'm like, dude, you're not enjoying this trip because you're so consumed with what you should have left behind. I'm like, my phone's shut off and in the drawer. I'm enjoying this trip because I don't even remember that I have a home. Right? Like, I put it aside. That doesn't even register right now because I am right here on this trip. When we have a good trip, you leave things behind. You don't take your house, right? Some of you try to in your baggage, okay, Tara? I could tell by the look on your face. You don't take your house with you. You don't take your bed or your TV, although I do like to take my pillow if I'm able. But you don't take your bed. You don't take your TV. You don't take your work unless you're insane, because you're not going to enjoy your trip. You leave it behind to focus on what? What's in front of you. Because I'm going to go on a good trip. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to relax. I'm going to get refreshed. And the reason I'm going to do that is because I'm leaving all this stuff that I'm used to that weighs me down. I'm leaving it all behind, and I'm just going to focus on what's in front of me. I'm going to focus on the trip. And when we look at our faith journey, it should be the same. We've got to be willing to leave everything behind to follow Christ in a new life for him. It's free, but at the same time, it costs us everything. You get that, church? The gift of salvation is free, but to actually pursue it and to follow him, you have to be willing to give up every other thing in your life. You have to count the cost. How many of you know Christians that haven't finished the journey? I mean, obviously, we're all still on the journey, but they've done left the path, right? There's a reason for that. It's because too many don't consider the cost. They look at the brochure, they go to the travel agent, and they're like, that looks pleasant, that looks great, book it. Book it. I'll take it. But they've never counted the cost, and it's like they get halfway through the trip and they run out of money. Right? They run out of money. You wouldn't believe how many times I have people stop by here that are traveling and they've run out of money. And I'm like, how can you run out of money? I'm like, if I don't have enough money to get somewhere, I don't go. But it happens all the time. They're like, oh, well, I'm just going from Washington to Pennsylvania. Well, how much money did you leave with? Like $6? Okay, well, that explains why you're here, I guess. You didn't calculate the cost. But people get on the spiritual journey, and I think that they don't calculate the cost, and they run out of money, so to speak. They get to this point where it's like, I feel like I have nothing left to give to this journey, and I'm going to turn back. I'm going back home. I'm going back to where it's comfortable, to where everything is the way that I like it. But have you ever considered this? What is the cost if you don't go? What's the cost if you don't say yes? What's the cost if you don't continue to follow Jesus day after day after day? What is the cost of that to your life? Isn't it a much greater cost? Isn't it a much greater cost, a much longer lasting negative effect on your life and those around you? You know, if you don't go on a regular road trip, you may not really lose that much. You lose some memories, like we weren't able to do that, and we weren't able to do this. We kind of lost some of those things. But listen, you can make memories other ways. You can make memories just doing goofy stuff around here. That's no big deal. Maybe you lost out on some relaxation that you could have had at the beach or whatever. Find a friend with a pool and get a fan, right? I mean, go to Shelbyville. Whatever, go somewhere else, and you can relax somewhere locally. You don't necessarily miss out too much there. But listen, when it comes to our spiritual journey of faith, if we don't follow Jesus, if you decide the cost is too much, listen, you go to hell. Like, that's the fact of the matter, is that that's where you end up. It costs you so much more in the long run than what it would cost you to go after him. There is an afterlife. There is a heaven. There is a hell. And here's the thing, is that you and me, each one of us individually, we get to decide where our destination is. It comes back to the beginning of planning for the trip. I get to decide where I want to go. But I got to consider the cost. Do I want to give up more now or give up a whole lot more later? How many of you guys have ever fallen for one of those deals before? Right? You can pay me a little bit now, or you can pay a whole lot later. Well, I'll give you the little bit now. Thank you very much. Some of you are like, no, I'll pay later. I'll pay later. There's sports teams that do this. They backload contracts. We'll give you $2 million to play this year, and then we'll pay you $10 million for like the next 8 years after you're retired. Well, guess what? They do that to three or four players, and then they can't afford anybody down the road. They're kicking the can down the road, so to speak. And we try to do that with our spiritual life. But listen, you got to be all in now. Otherwise, it's going to cost you everything later. You want to give up everything on this life right now or everything for eternity later. They're pretty drastically different costs, aren't they? You decide where you want to go. You just decide which trip you want to pay for and if you're paying now or paying later. Tell you what, this is one of those things where paying later is not a good idea. So where do you want to go? How much time do you have? And what is it going to cost? The next thing you got to figure out is how you're going to get there. When you go on a trip, are you taking a car? You taking a plane? You taking the train? I really wouldn't advise that. It's not going to be a very good trip. There's a lot of stops, but whatever. If that's your thing, maybe you like trains. You could take a boat. You could take a combination, which is probably what most people would do. And when it comes to the United States of America, we've got a lot of options, don't we? As far as how can we travel? How can we get there? How can we parlay all these different options to the best cost for us or to save the most time or whatever it is that's a priority? You can do a combination of types. There's pros and cons to each one, right? Each form of travel. But different people prefer different modes of transportation. Are there any of you in here that refuse to fly? Like, you will not do it? I know there's at least somebody in the foyer who refuses to fly. His name's Mont Caraway. We've had some pretty exciting trips with him when he's flown. Like, not good. Not good at all. But we all just say, like, it's turbulence, we're all going to die, you know, just to see what he does. And but some people, they don't like different things. Some people get car sick and they're like, man, just get me to the airport and get me on that plane because I can handle the plane, but I can't handle the car. Or whatever it is, it's different things for different people. But when it comes down to it, how are you going to get there? It's a matter of choice and preference, but eventually you'll still get there. Now, here's the problem when we relay that over to our faith journey, is we have too much of this going on right now where we think that there are a lot of different ways to get to heaven. Right? In America, we're told right now there's all these different ways. You can go to heaven by train, you can go to heaven by bus, by car, by, you know, boat, you can walk there, you can climb a ladder, you know, let's all get together and build a tower and we can just climb up there, whatever it is. We hear of all these different ways, right? We hear of Scientology and Mormonism and Jehovah's Witness and Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism and atheism. We have all these different ways, and they, you know, people like to say that they all go to the same place. They're all just different forms of transportation. And in fact, you can jump off one and jump on the other and go around, and eventually you'll get to your destination through these many modes of transportation. And I would tell you that that's true. It just depends on where your destination is. Right? Remember at the beginning, you get to choose where you want to go. If you want to go to hell, you can take those forms of transportation and jump from one to another all you want, all your life, till your heart's content. You will get to your destination. If your destination is heaven, there's only one way, and his name is Jesus. There's only one. He's the right vehicle. He is the form of transportation, so to speak, that we have to take if we're going to get to heaven. There's one way in. You ever been to one of those places where there's only one way in? I don't like them, right? Because they're usually congested. Unfortunately, if you take a look at our world right now, it doesn't really seem like the path to heaven is going to be too congested. It seems like a lot of people are choosing the other ways of transportation that are just circling the city, right? And we're going to be on the one that goes into the Holy of Holies. We're going to be on the one that goes in to heaven through Jesus. John chapter 14. Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where we're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. It's one thing to live the right way, but it's another way to go the right way. That way is Jesus. All these other religions, some of them do some good things. They do some good acts. In fact, a lot of them, they're basically trying to earn their way into heaven. But it's one thing to do the right things. It's another to go the right way, which is Jesus. We must be born again. Somebody say amen. You must be born again. You must be. It's not an option, and there's only one possible way for you to be born again, and that is faith in Jesus, the only God who lives. He's the only God who lives. I mean, it's like we're trying to take this train that's broke down. You get in it and you sit down and you're like, why isn't this train taking off? I guess I'll go get on that bus. And you go get on the bus and you're like, well, this bus isn't moving either. You try to grab an Uber and you get in the Uber and you get in the back of it and it's like it doesn't go anywhere. That's what people are trying to do when they're trying to serve a God who doesn't live. They're not going anywhere. It's not going to get to the destination they think they're going to, which is heaven, because Jesus is the only way. He tells us in John chapter 10, I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will come in and go out and find pasture. It's through him, guys. It's through Jesus. Sure, it matters where you want to go. It matters how long you have. It matters what it's going to cost, but you've got to take the right transportation. You've got to be following Jesus to go to heaven. Choose how you're getting there and choose where you're going. The next thing is, where are you staying? A lot of people have gotten to this point where they're following Jesus. They're following him. And I think that it can kind of teeter between the cost and the transportation. It's like I'm going, but I'm starting to get a little weary. I'm starting to maybe start to reconsider the cost. Like, I don't know if this is worth it. So where are you staying at? When you go on a vacation, right now you've got a lot of choices where to stay. It's a great time to go on a vacation because there's so many different options for you to stay somewhere. You can stay in a hotel, a nice hotel with some nice air conditioning, all that stuff. You can stay in we stayed in a tiny house for one night when we were in Utah, and it was cool for one night, but, you know, after I hit my head on that railing like twice, trying to crawl up there into bed, I was kind of like, maybe I don't ever want a tiny house because I'm not that tiny. But it was cool. It was neat to do. You can stay in some kind of tent. You can go camping, or what we did, we went what they call glamping, where we stayed in like a fancy tent. It was really nice in there. It had a hole in the top where you could see the stars, and it was in Arizona, so you could actually see them because there was no pollution. It's in the middle of the desert, but the toilet was across the road, and the shower was down further from that. Turns out also the shower only had so much warm water, and I went first, so I don't know what that says for everybody else. They weren't thrilled with it, but you got a lot of options what you can do. You can stay in all kinds of different places, and I've done a lot of trips where I've stayed with family. Anybody ever done a trip where you stay with family? Was it good? You don't have to answer that. All right, we're going around. Spin the camera around. We're going to ask every person if it was good. Now, if you go on a trip where you stay with family, it is a great option because it's, hopefully it's free. I mean, I don't know if your family charges you, then just stay at a hotel. Like, why stay with them? But it's usually free, so that part of it is really nice. Staying in a hotel can be pretty nice. Staying in a camper or something can be nice. But here's what I realized. I realized that where you stay greatly impacts the rest of your trip. And here's why I say that. If you stay with friends or family, right, there's aspects of their life or their schedule that affects everything that you're going to do while you're there, right? Like, maybe you get up early and they sleep in, and you're kind of like, what am I supposed to do for breakfast? And you look in the pantry and there's nothing to eat or whatever. Maybe you like to go to bed early and they like to stay up late. Maybe they got, you know, things that they've got scheduled with different people, and you end up going to eat and dinner with, you know, their neighbor's cousin's friend that they knew from high school, and you're like, why am I eating dinner with this person? Like, right, all those things can affect your trip when you stay with somebody else. If you book, you know, a hotel, or you book like an Airbnb or something like that, you got the amenities that come along with that. Like, it could make your trip great, it could make your trip not so great. It affects everything that you do. If you're camping or something, you're affected, like, do I have the comfort? Am I okay having air or not having air or heat? Or whatever those things are, it greatly affects your trip. And in the same way, I want to tell you that where you stay greatly affects your faith journey. Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Say, live by the Spirit. Say, keep in step. This is important. So many of us were like, yes, I live by the Spirit, but are you keeping in step with the Spirit? Right? I mean, this would be like if I say, hey, follow me to Effingham. And you're like, okay, that's great. Well, Tim's going to Effingham. Well, I know where Effingham's at. I'll meet you there. I think we do that with the Holy Spirit a lot. Turns out I'm going around to the north side of Effingham, and you're kind of going around the south side of Effingham, and I'm already there, and I'm like, where are you at? And you're like, I'm in Effingham. I'm like, yeah, so am I. Where are you at? I think we treat the Holy Spirit like that a lot of times. It's like, yeah, okay, I live by the Spirit. I know where we're going. I'll meet you there. But isn't it different when you stay in step with the Spirit? That'd be like following me to Effingham, and hallelujah, we end up at the same destination. You actually came to the place that I went, which is where I wanted you to go. We've got to stay in step with the Holy Spirit. If you live there, stay there. If you don't keep in step with the Spirit, it greatly affects your journey. So on a trip, you think about staying in these different places. There's times where, you know, I stay places, and part of why I like to bring my pillow is because I'm a baby. But I sleep on a lumpy pillow, or a pillow that's too thin or something. My neck hurts when I wake up, or, you know, I don't sleep good. Something about that, I can wake up grumpy. Okay, I'm just being honest with you. I sleep in a hotel or even at somebody else's house. Sometimes I wake up grumpy because the sleeping conditions were not what I wanted. They're not the same as what I'm used to at home because of the pillow, okay? Or sometimes you take a shower and maybe it's even hot, but you ever go to stay somewhere where the shower head is like, basically somebody's just like spitting on you or something. You're like, what is this? And how is someone supposed to get wet, lather up, and then rinse off with that? I mean, we stayed it was in Costa Rica where in the shower when we went to La Barra, it was literally a pipe that went up and had an elbow that came out, and you just got a straight stream of water. I'll tell you what, I've stayed in hotels that got worse water than that with the shower head on it. That was ice cold, but I'm telling you, I've had some bad shower experiences. You start the shower and all of a sudden you're like, I'm also taking a bath. Why doesn't this drain work? There's not even any water coming out of that thing. I don't understand why I'm in 6 inches of water and I'm still not sure how I'm supposed to pull this off, right? That can start to put you in a little bit of a bad mood, right? These things can greatly affect your trip where you stayed. It has an impact. Then what happens? I come out and I'm like, oh, Christy, man, I really miss home, right? I love my shower. I love the shower head that we have. It's great. I love our bed. I love my pillow, all that stuff. I'm like, you start to miss home. Why? Because of where you're staying is really not that great. It turns out that it's not as good as what you had before. See, if you follow Jesus, you live by the Spirit. If you stay in step with the Spirit, listen, you don't get grumpy. You don't begin to miss what you left behind. But if you're not going to follow Jesus, if you're not going to live by the Spirit and follow step by step by step, there comes a time where you begin to miss the old life. Anybody been there and done that? You begin to miss the old life. You're like, had it better before. I had it better before. I was more comfortable. Things were the way that I wanted. What's the problem? It's the place where you're staying. It's that you're not staying in step with the Spirit. You're not staying in step with the Spirit. Colossians chapter 2 says, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude. When you continue to walk in the Spirit, you stay rooted in Christ. You stay rooted in Christ. Listen, if you stay rooted, then you become established. And what that means, in another translation, it talks about how it is built up. When you are rooted, you begin to build up. You think about a tree, or Todd was talking about corn this morning, and it's like, you know, you have to get rooted before it begins to build up, right? Otherwise, what's going to happen? The storm's going to come. It's just going to fall over. You get rooted, then you begin to build up, and only then is it strong, right? Once the roots form, it begins to build up. It begins to gain strength, and then it says that the result of that is overflowing with gratitude. Now, if you picture this as a tree, a small tree, the roots begin to go down. They begin to spread underground. It begins to get strong and grow up. Then it ultimately begins to grow where? Out. The top, the branches begin to grow out. They begin to bloom. They begin to grow leaves or flowers or whatever it is, and they begin to get full. And this is you on your faith journey. It's an image of what our faith journey is like right here, that we get rooted in Jesus because he is the foundation. Amen? We've got to get rooted and stay rooted in Jesus. He's the foundation. If you stay rooted, listen, it is a guarantee that you will be built up and that you will be strong if you stay rooted. See, that's the problem. A lot of times we're like, we start to pull away. No, get rooted, and then you will be built up. You will grow and be strong. And when we do that, we'll be overflowing with gratitude. This is like those branches that are beginning to spread out and begin to provide coverage. They go up from you, and then they go out from you. And this right here is when our faith begins to come full. We're overflowing with gratitude. Can I tell you, that's a great, great indicator of your faith level, is your gratitude level. How thankful you are to God is a pretty good meter for how strong your faith is right now. Because can we be faithful when things are terrible? Can we be thankful? Absolutely. Can we be thankful when things are not as we desire for them to be? Can we be thankful for when we got that shower head that's not even hardly putting anything out and the water's building up? We can. We may not always be, but we can. Can we be faithful or thankful whenever God's not doing what we think he should be doing? Yeah. We can be thankful because God has saved us, because he loves us, because he is here for us, he is here with us. He has great things in store for us. And so when our faith becomes full and those branches begin to go out, this is when your faith journey bears fruit. This is the whole goal here, is that our faith journey would bear fruit, that it would accomplish something, that it would do those lasting memories, those lasting effects, because our fruit shows the goodness of God. Amen? You guys realize that? Your fruit, what God does through your life, it shows the goodness of God to those around you. It shows it. It's evidence of his goodness, and it impacts the lives of not just you, but those around you. Listen, this is why we have to be fruit bearers. Not because we need it. We don't need the fruit. We bear the fruit, right? It gives glory to God, and it shows of his goodness to those that are around us. Your trip does not just affect you. You realize that? Your faith journey does not just affect you. There are times where I'm getting ready to make a decision on what I'm going to do, and then it'll hit me. Tim, that is a selfish decision that you're getting ready to make. You need to think about how that affects the other people in your life. It may not be a bad thing to do. I'm just saying, how is that going to impact the other people in your life? And I'm like, okay, God, you're right. You're right. My faith journey doesn't just affect me. One of the greatest warnings I was given when I went into ministry was, do not let ministry destroy your family. You guys know that happens every day. Churches and pulpits all across America. The pastor is preaching the word of God. The spirit might be moving and his family's in ruins because he's let the ministry become more important than his family. And I said from day one, I will never let that happen. I'll never let it happen. I'm faithful to God first and foremost, absolutely. But the number one responsibility he's given me is this right here. Before this, I'm just being honest. Before this, it's my family. Now, if I'm doing my job right and I'm following in step with the Spirit, I can do them both. Right? But there's a lot of people that they're just like, ah, family, you'll get the after. You'll get what's left over. It'll be fine. What you do in your trip doesn't just affect you. It affects those that are around you. I'm going to tell you that it also affects those that you leave behind. That's the final thing that I think about when I think about planning a trip is, who are you taking with you? Who are you taking with you? Now, there's people you want to take with you, and there's people you don't want to take with you. I'm not saying you have to take that, you know, that neighbor who's, you know, always letting his dog poop in your yard or whatever. Like, you don't have to take everybody with you on your family vacation. I'm talking about on your faith journey. But when you plan a road trip, you take people that are close to you, right? You take people that mean something to you, people that you want to spend time with. But on your faith journey, listen, it's not about seeing the mountains or seeing the beach. That's not what our faith journey is about. Our faith journey is a matter of eternal life and eternal death. Our faith journey, we have no capacity limits, right? I can only take 4 people in our car, 5 if you're really smashed, right? But on our faith journey, there's no limit. It's like we're all driving, you know, a freight liner. It's like we can fill up the back. You can take as many people with you as you want to. Every soul matters, amen? Every soul has value, amen? Because they're all created in the image of God, no matter what their faith journey looks like. This is hard, church. It's hard sometimes to remember that. You know, we get so upset at the world not following God's commands and God's laws. They don't belong to him, right? I mean, would you get mad at you know, one of Jake's kids for not following my rules at my house, right? They'd be like, why do I got to listen to him? He ain't my dad, right? I don't have to do what he says. I'm not even at his house. And this is the way that we look at the world, is like, why aren't they doing what the Bible says is right? Because they don't belong to God. They don't belong to God. They've chosen their destination. But listen, God has put us, his people, his church, that do belong to him in this world so that we can show them there is a better way. So that we can say, you do have value, you do have worth, and you matter to me because you matter to God who created you. And so we can take them with us. Hallelujah. We can take them with us because every soul matters and has value, and every soul needs to know that there's only one way, and his name is Jesus. Now listen, church, we've got to do that in love. We've got to do that in love. How do we love people? Luke 6:31. This verse that I thought my grandma made up. Anybody have those verses that you thought your grandma made up or your mom made up or something? Right? It's basically the golden rule, right? Just as you want others to do to you, do the same to them. I don't know why, like, I'd be like, I actually want my brother to punch me, right? You know, I mean, that's what kids do. But really, do to others as you would want them to do to you. If there is a better way, wouldn't you want somebody to tell you? If you're headed toward danger, wouldn't you want somebody to tell you? Okay, we probably all agree on that, but now think about how you would want them to tell you. How would you want them to tell you? Listen, jerk, you're going to hell. You better get it right. You better straighten up. You better knock your crap off. You ain't supposed to be doing this and this and this and this. You keep doing that stuff, you're going to hell. Is that what you would want somebody to say to you? Would that convince you? Let me tell you how I am. When we play cards at my mom's, I'm the kind of person, if somebody's like looking at my cards and they're like, you're not going to go out, you know what I do? Bam, I'm out. I don't care. I don't care what my score just was. I know it's a get a low score game and it looks like I got about 80 points sitting here. You said I won't go out, I went out. Because that's the kind of guy I am. You tell me I can't do something, I'm doing it. I would not receive that well if somebody was just like, listen, Knock your crap off, you're going to hell. Be good. Right? That's not what I would receive. Think about how did you get saved? How did you come to know the goodness of God? It was probably through somebody showing you the love of God, regardless of where you were at, regardless of what you had done, regardless of who you were associated with and what your past was, and really even what you thought and what you said, they still loved you anyway. Right? Isn't that what we would desire for ourselves? And so that's what we should do to others. Show them a better way. Sometimes it's not just tell them, but it's also just show them. Show them like, oh, we don't think the same. We don't look the same. I didn't even think you would talk to me, and you're giving me a hug. You're inviting me over for dinner. You want to go fishing with me? Are you serious? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through him. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be standing there in heaven and seeing all the people that passed through my life, all the people that passed through that went to hell because I had an opportunity to love them and I chose not to because they were different than me, because they annoyed me, because I was too scared or too bashful or didn't know what to say. I don't want to be in that position, church, do you? Our spiritual journey is important because it doesn't just affect us, it affects the world, right? It affects the entire world. Would you stand to your feet? When it comes to planning your trip, where do you want to go? For some of you, that maybe that's a decision you need to make today. Where do you want to go? Maybe you're watching online. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to go to hell? Because it truly is your choice. There's no God sends people here, God sends people there. It's God gives us a choice. And he says, you choose. You pick. Where do you want to go? Think about how long you have. You have no idea. That's how long. It doesn't matter. That's the end of the thought. You really don't. You have no idea. What you do need to think about is what it's going to cost you. Even if you've already made that decision to follow Jesus, you still right now need to reflect upon what it costs to truly follow Jesus. Are you willing to throw your nets down? Are you willing to say, peace out, Dad? Have fun fishing by yourself. Right? Are you willing to do whatever it is to leave everything this world has to offer to follow Jesus? If you are, how about where are you going to stay? Where are you going to stay? How are you going to get there? You're going to follow Jesus? Where are you going to stay? Are you going to stay in step with the Spirit of God? Because if you don't stay in step with the Spirit of God, listen, you're going to begin to start to long for the old days, long for the old life where it was easier. Right? You guys know that sin is easy. It's easy. That's why so many people do it. It's easy. That's why we do it when we do it. It's easy. It takes little effort. It takes little thought. It takes little self-control, little restriction for us. We just do it. Are you going to stay there? Are you going to follow Jesus? And then who's going with you? Who are you taking with you? Who's God putting on your heart even right now that you know, man, I've been neglectful in reaching out to that person? Can I give you a tip this morning just to kind of release the pressure? Man, the first step is maybe just getting in contact with them. You know, you don't have to be like, I would like to have a meeting with you because I would like to share the gospel with you and tell you how you could be saved and freed from your sin. Like that's, no, just, hey, how's it going? What are you doing? What are you doing for lunch tomorrow? You want to come over and play cards? You want to go play golf? Braid each other's hair? I don't know what girls do. Whatever things you guys do. Make t-shirts, scrapbooks. Just an invitation. Just an invitation to start something, church. Here's the thing, we've got to start the trip. There's a lot of people that they've been planning and planning and planning, and they know all the things that I've even shared today, but they've never got to the point of actually starting the trip. We're going to Mexico next month. Next month comes and goes, and they're like, well, I mean, we kind of planned it, but yeah, we forgot to leave. We'll do it next month. We'll do it next month. A lot of people are like that in their Christian walk. Yeah, I got all that. I got it all lined out. I know what I need to do. I'm going to start the trip, right? And this is common. It's common for a lot of people that aren't in this building this morning where they're like, as soon as I get rid of this addiction that I have, then I'll start coming to church, then I'll start following Jesus. No, come now. Right? The trip's all planned out. You need to actually take some steps and actually embark on the journey. You need to actually take some steps and go. Can I tell you that if you don't ever start the trip to heaven, you'll never get where you're going? If you don't start the trip, you'll never get to where you're going. The other thing you need to know is that this is a trip that does not end. I don't know about you, but when I go on vacation, one of the things I look forward to at the end of the trip, no matter how fun it is, I look forward to going home. We, God's people, are a people who are wanderers. We are. We're wanderers on this earth. We don't have a home on this earth. We don't belong here. We're all on the journey right now. Right now, you're on the journey because you're not home until you go to heaven. You're not home. So while you're on the journey, let's do something on this trip. Let's stop planning and let's get to work. Let's wander with purpose. Amen? Father, we thank you and praise you for your goodness, your faithfulness, Lord, for your word. God, we just pray today that right now you would work upon the hearts of the men and women in this place, those that are listening online, that Lord, you know what we need. You know where we're at. You see the deepest parts of our heart. Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. As Christy said earlier, you even know what we need before we even ask of it. Right now, Holy Spirit, would you begin to show us, each one of us, where we're at in this planning phase? If we don't know where we want to go, would you just give us a glimpse of heaven this morning and show us the goodness of God? Father, we don't know how long we have, not a single one of us. Would you put that urgency on our heart this morning? That we would realize and recognize that our time truly is short and that we should do the most impactful things that we can possibly do for the kingdom of God, starting right now, starting right here, starting today. It may be at the altar right here, right now. It may be as we eat together right out there in just a couple minutes. It may be as we go out from this place today, but help us to realize the shortness of our time that we could be impactful with our lives. Lord, help us to recognize the cost. Help us to recognize that you have to be first, that we have to lay everything down to follow you, that there's no in-between. We don't want to be like that rich young ruler that was told to give up everything, and he was like, no, that's not going to work for me. If anybody's in that place here today, Lord, show them the glorious riches of heaven. Father, we know how to get there. We know there's only one, and his name is Jesus. And I pray right now for every man, woman, and child that believes the lie, that there's other ways to heaven. For those that are deceived by other religions, that are deceived by false prophets and dead gods and dead men and dead women, they're deceived by that lying spirit. We just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would break every lie and spell in Jesus' name. That you would show them the truth of who Jesus is, the one true living God, the one who is coming back for a pure and a spotless bride, and he desperately, desperately wants them to be a part of that. Lord, would you reveal that? Give dreams and visions. I pray for manifestation of your presence in people's lives, even right now as they're watching this online. Lord, would you help us to stay in step with the Spirit? That we know when we stay in step with the Spirit, when we abide in Christ, when we're rooted in you, we're connected with you, that's the place that we're built up. That's the place where we are strong. That's the place where we begin to extend out our branches and we see that gratefulness begin to overflow from our lives and that fruit that is produced. And Lord, will you show us those that you've called to go with us, those that you've put in our lives, show us how to reach them. Show us how to love them. Show us how to start a conversation with someone who maybe even we wouldn't normally talk to. Lord, we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us. Show us the way. We thank you that you're our helper, that you lead us and that you guide us. We ask right now as we continue in worship, as we close out in worship, Lord, that you would work on our hearts, that we would each find ourselves in that place of surrender to you, that you'd tear down those walls that we put up, that you'd begin to break through, that you'd work on our heart. We love you, we praise you in this place, in Jesus' name, amen.